You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots coming up on the show for you today. Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, across the network from 6 to 9.
Wait, what?
6 to 9, Pat Kreitlow, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Yeah. He will be joining us after the 9:30 news. We're going to talk about many, many things with Mr. Kreitlow, including, of course, health care, the Affordable Care Act. And also, I found an interesting article about all of these really super generous donors of the big billionaire ballroom.
Yeah.
They have business before the government. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
I find that so interesting. So we'll talk about that with Pat Kreitlow after 9:30. In hour number two, Chuck Collins is going to be here from Patriotic Millionaires. This is a group that Maggie Dawn has talked to quite a bit on her show, the Maggie Dawn Show, from 4 to 6. Chuck Collins inherited a whole bunch of money. Gave a lot of it away.
Nice.
And thinks that millionaires like him should pay more in taxes. What a crazy idea. It's just crazy. So we'll talk to Chuck Collins right after the 10 o'clock news for Audio Sorbet today, where we lighten things up to get away from the news. Civic Media's Terry Barr is going to be here. We call her the genie of just about everything. And she does a great series called Slice of Wisconsin, where she highlights different businesses around our great state. And then we'll wrap it up, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. We've been sitting on this one for a while. We Raise You Up edition.
Yes.
It's good. It's a good one. So stay tuned for that. Wanted to start off with just a couple of things. If you live in Milwaukee or travel through Milwaukee, you probably discovered this morning. Construction has started on that big I-94 project in Milwaukee.
Which one?
The first leg of the project will last through 2028. The I-94 East-West project will widen the interstate from 6 to 8 lanes, which we don't need, along a 3.5-mile stretch on the city's west side. The first segment, $1.7 billion, started Monday morning. When I came in this morning,
yeah,
because I live on the northwest side of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I take 175 to Miller Parkway.
Yeah.
That's now closed. That ramp is closed. So I had to find a different way to get to my usual route. So I found a way around it, got back on my regular route. That was closed.
Yeah.
That was handy.
Yep. I mean,
there's so much construction going on all over the place.
Yes. 41, 43, 94.
894.
175. And then not to mention just all of the little areas in various towns. And I mean, in where I live in Kenosha, there's just roads that are just closed.
Yeah.
And
there's street projects.
Yeah. It is a little, it's infuriating because it doesn't make Milwaukee an attractive place to go to when you already have to say, well, there's just tons of traffic. And I don't know what this is going to look like for brewer season next year, because it is going to be happening right there at the stadium.
So, yeah, it's going to be interesting days ahead.
511, but it's, let's see here. 511WI.gov is a great app to put on your phone, on your device. If you are traveling in the southeastern Wisconsin area, especially in the Milwaukee County area, and you want to know what's going on, it's a great website, great resource, 511WI.gov. It will show you where there are traffic accidents. It will show you where the construction, where there are slowdowns. You can access road cameras to see what's going on, just to give yourself a leg up on your travel if you need to do that. 511WI.gov. And for those driving in that area, good luck.
Yes, we're all going to have lots of fun over the next couple of years navigating all of that. So we're going to start and talk about food banks and SNAP benefits. And the Trump administration now says SNAP will be partially funded this month.
Oh, boy.
The Trump administration said yesterday it will partially fund SNAP. This after two judges ruled that it was the government's responsibility to keep this program running. U.S. Department of Agriculture, which oversees SNAP, planned to freeze payments starting on Saturday because of the government shutdown. The program serves nearly one in eight Americans. The government says an emergency fund it will use has $4.65 billion that can cover about half of the normal benefits. Not clear exactly how much beneficiaries are going to receive or how soon that's going to kick in. Yeah. And that's one of the concerns.
That's one of the concerns. And I'm trying to find the article that we were talking about earlier here that was in the JS Online. It's entitled, it's Molly Beck with the byline, "The wait for Wisconsin food share partial benefits likely to take weeks," Evers administration says. So even if they put this funding in order, only 50%, folks, just 50%.
Just 50.
It's not going to be a thing if you're going to see it immediately either. There's going to be some red tape going through. If it was to be put in place right now, I'm assuming it will take some time even still. So for those who are on the food share program here in Wisconsin, if you're listening right now, we're moving towards solutions at a snail's pace, in my opinion. But if we do see some funding, you will not see it for a little bit. I will put that article in the show notes, but that's coming out of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, talking about the fact that weeks now will have to go by. They decided to partially fund the food assistance program, but it doesn't mean you're going to get it right away.
Right. There's going to be some lag time.
Yep.
And in the interim, food pantries were already stretched thin.
Yes.
There's an article in the Wisconsin Examiner that we'll include in the show notes. Food banks were already operating on fumes even before the SNAP chaos. So if you would like to help, if you're in a position where you can help, make some donations to some of our local food pantries. Yeah. And if you are able to donate cash, they can buy in bulk.
Yes.
So they get a lot more bang for their buck. So if you can donate money to our food banks, that would be great. If you can just a couple jars of peanut butter.
Yeah.
Would be really great.
It's very, very helpful. And you know, it's just for me. I mean, I've fortunately never had to benefit from food pantries, from food share, from SNAP or anything like that. But right now it just feels like this is the greater thing to worry about. We need to get this funding going. We need to fund it fully. And the commentary from those around the country blaming the Democrats and blaming the existence of SNAP to begin with. They think the problem with SNAP is SNAP. It's too fully, it's overfunded.
Well, it exists. That's their problem.
We're making people dependent on this. Well, we have a program. There is a funding mechanism, and it should be funded. And if you don't want to do that, then you have to make the necessary investments in the country, and states need to make the necessary investments in their state, in their communities. And that's the big takeaway for me, is that the Democrat SNAP program that's overfunding and making us reliant upon government money. Well, that's fine, but our state has been in control by the Republicans for the past 14 years, and eight of that by all three. We've got state Senate, Assembly, and the governor.
Yep.
What investments did they make to help people in Wisconsin become less dependent on food share? Probably nothing. They didn't put any programs in place to make them less dependent, increase job availability, increase wages to make sure we have a higher minimum wage. Maybe, I don't know, hey, maybe we could have legalized marijuana. I know that's a left field call, but legalized marijuana, that would have brought in tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue to this state. But we haven't done that.
Well, no. And it seems to me that the only policy proposal, at least in Wisconsin, that the Republicans have is tax cuts.
Yeah, they always love
that. That is their answer to everything. That will fix everything.
And let's just look at the facts here. We have a food share program in Wisconsin that's funded by the federal government. The complaint is that the Democrat SNAP program is making us too reliant. Well, that's fine. Then cut us off from SNAP then, and we fund it because we can afford to do that. We have a surplus. But we have been told by our state senator, our president of the Senate, Mary Felskowski, that this is a federal problem, not a state problem. So when you tell us that the SNAP program is the problem, I want to hear the state solutions then. How do we make people less dependent on benefits and beneficiary programs that allow them to get the food and just get the health care that they need? What are you going to do? What are your plans? What is your big legislative agenda that will say we're investing in the people?
Well, that's no.
No, exactly.
They don't.
It's
they don't,
never that.
They don't invest.
No.
It's tax cuts, Greg.
Yes.
If you can't fix it with a tax cut, then there is no fix.
No, absolutely not.
And I think their response is, well, what was it? Going back to Paul Ryan days, it was a hammock of laziness.
A hammock.
And then they wanted to report they were going to supply a springboard. So people could get out of the hammock of lazy and springboard into work.
They need to stop. Just talk. Just be plain flavored English folks who just speak words. Don't come at me with these weird comparisons and binders full of women and springboards of hammocks. Just say, what are like?
That may not have been entirely accurate, the springboarding out of the hammock.
I'll bet you any amount of money that it's not far.
There's pieces in there that are accurate. I want to share this very quickly. This is from our sister station, WRCE in Richland Center. Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources are encouraging their hunters to donate any deer that they harvest to the Deer Donation Program, which helps stock food pantries.
Yeah.
And they've done this for a long, long time. More than 700,000 Wisconsin residents got food assistance last year. Demand is expected to be higher. Since the program started in 2000, hunters here have donated more than 100,000 deer. That's fabulous.
That's great.
Totaling over 4 million pounds of ground venison. So, again, if you are going to be deer hunting, you're going out deer hunting. Mm-hmm. Remember, you can always donate it and through the DNR's Deer Donation Program.
And that's great. And I love seeing people come forward and helping out, whether it's donation of cash, whether it's the deer meat, whether it's donating food. But at the when it comes down to it, when we hit the end of the day, it has to be the investment from the government with the funds that are allocated for these programs so people can eat. And not lazy ne'er-do-well, shiftless good-for-nothings.
Video game playing
boys in their mom's basements. These are hardworking folks who have jobs, maybe two jobs, farmers, the people in the military take SNAP benefit. We have a whole bunch of people, vets take SNAP benefits. They're trying to push the message like they're takers. These are normal American folks who need help.
And probably someone that you know.
Absolutely.
Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Calzone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We were talking about SNAP and the federal government yesterday. Saying they will pay half now of SNAP benefits for the month of November.
They will pay because a judge told them
they had to, yes.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And lots of discussion about who's, you know, the government shutdown and whose fault it is and all of those things. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez had a little clip that we want to play. And I believe she was talking to WISN, but let's play this clip from Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Calvin, please.
So Republican leadership in D.C. Found over $1 trillion in tax cuts for billionaires, and they funded those tax cuts by cutting Medicaid and Medicare. And what that means for Wisconsinites is higher insurance costs and less clinics in rural spaces. I'm a nurse. I know what happens when people don't have access to the care that they need. The entire community suffers. And so that's why we're organizing today. It's, we want to put people over politics.
That's Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. And I just think that that's pretty much the breakdown. Mm-hmm. The big blob of a bill, which is a huge gift for America's wealthiest.
Yes.
Is getting funded by cutting things us non-rich people use, essentially.
What some of us need, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
Sarah Rodriguez, who is currently running for governor of Wisconsin as well.
Right.
It's almost a broken record at this point. And it's happening right in our faces. They're putting it right. I mean, there used to be a day when they were cutting taxes for the rich people, and they tried to mask over it with various, you know, political, like, you know, quotes and parlance and whatnot, and try to get us to not see what's going on. Now they're just cutting the taxes and just doing and saying, this is what needs to happen. And we're saving Medicaid because of it. And they don't care. And they're getting our money. Our premiums are going up. Our prices aren't coming down. Yet we have a president who says, yes, they are. And people say they are. I don't think I'll ever understand the mindset of I am going to support, vote for, and endorse a group of individuals who are actively working to harm me, my family, my community, and my country. All for what? A win to own the libs? I don't get it. But next year, your premiums will go up. If you are lucky enough to have health insurance, by the way.
Well, right. And the ACA is not perfect.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination, it's not.
No.
But again, if we want to delve into that whole story, I mean, this goes back to Joe Lieberman. Mm-hmm. And Joe Lieberman as Obamacare was being put together. And again, taking lobbyist money from insurance companies and all things like that. But it's complicated. It's a mess.
Yep.
But just giving tax breaks to the ultra wealthy does not fix things for the rest of us.
So, I mean, and that's and right there, that statement, too, also brings up a huge contradiction, point of hypocrisy, that especially since the second Trump administration began in January, all we have been hearing is waste, fraud, abuse. We've been hearing about, you know, takers and welfare and the able body and all of these scenarios they're pushing to make us despise those who need some sort of benefit
assistance.
Or program or assistance and how much welfare is terrible and we can't do it and it's communism and socialist and all the other words they don't know. But what is it at the base? We are handing over our money to billionaires. We are giving them our money. That is, in my opinion, billionaire/corporate welfare. They're getting our money for no good reason whatsoever.
Well, they're the creators.
Creators?
They're the job creators.
What?
Well, and that goes back. I mean, I go back to the crash in 2008.
Yes.
And I was very lucky to have had a job, and I was able to keep my job mm-hmm. at that time. But we all took big pay cuts.
Yeah.
In order to keep going. And the whole thing was, well, you're not a creator. Well, but I am a job creator if I have a cleaning lady mm-hmm. or I get my hair done or I get my nails done.
Yeah.
Or I do I need other services like that. That's helping to create jobs.
You at the very least are investing in the economy of this country. And that's something we keep talking about is that.
Well, with people who put it back into the economy.
Exactly.
Because if you give and we're going to talk to Chuck Collins about this. Chuck Collins is with the group Patriotic Millionaires, and he's going to join us after 10 o'clock. If you give ultra wealthy people tax breaks, they don't spend it.
No.
They sit on it.
They sit on it, and they cut jobs.
Right.
Amazon's a perfect example.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. How many people did he just lay off? 60,000 people?
It is insanity to me. Again, that there are people out there who make as much money as me, maybe a little bit more, maybe less, who say, we need the mega movement. It is making this country, America, great again. You don't understand. Please make me understand why kicking people off of various programs and cutting their access to assistance or medical care is making this country healthy, great, good, anything, well, nothing.
I'd also like someone to explain to me why in 2017, the first time around with Trump, the tax cuts for the rich people were permanent, mm-hmm. but the tax cuts for the rest of us only lasted 2 years.
Yeah.
Interesting how that happens. News is coming up next. And then when we return, Pat Kreitlow from Mornings with Pat Kreitlow will be joining us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach. Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every other Tuesday at this time, the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow across our fine network. 6 to 9 a.m. Pat Kreitlow is here. What are you doing?
We didn't mean to get in the way of your morning reading.
On ARP.
Oh. Can't hear you, Pat. You are muted.
You have your mic muted. There, there we go.
Sorry, I was just reading. I was reading my latest edition of AARP magazine here with Sylvester Stallone. Enjoying a big glass of Metamucil over here. Hey, Jane.
Yeah.
Happy retirement.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are those suggestions on things I should take with me? My subscription to ARP and Metamucil?
No, that was just me proving sometimes it's a long way to go for a short joke and just not worth it.
Don't forget your bottle of cod liver oil.
Well, anything. I laugh to keep the tears away, Jane.
Really quick, did you buy that bottle of Metamucil for the joke?
Yes.
Okay, there it is.
Yes, he did. He was invested.
And I found this AARP magazine out on the street. Yes.
It was my neighbor's. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Really quick, as two people who are at an age where I am not there yet, I'm getting there, you know.
Rub it in.
No. Oh, well, hey, I want to make it there. I want to get my subscription of AARP. But what was the bigger thing for you? Getting the subscription or the membership or seeing modern stars you grew up with on the cover? Because when I first saw, like, I think it was maybe Bruce Springsteen, I said, okay, I'm sorry.
On the cover of ARP?
Yeah, what are we doing? ARP,
Kevin Costner. Yeah, all these other people going, wow, we're all on AARP. No, that is indeed a shock. But the real dilemma, and Jane can probably plead guilty to this too, is you fight it for a while. I think most people fight it for a while. And then comes the day where you go, I will indeed go to the grocery store on Wednesday because that's when I get 15% off or whatever the senior discount happens to be. You don't want to acknowledge the senior discount at first. And then you're like, why not?
With these grocery prices?
Go ahead. I'll take it. So I'll take 15% off my Metamucil if I bought it for myself regularly.
If you needed it. Yes, exactly. Yeah, if I did. No, that's I will admit the one thing that I've started doing because I'm 65. They have this special senior parking. It's not handicapped, but at my grocery store there will be a couple slots. It says senior citizen parking only. I parked there.
Okay, now. There are two things. First of all, I just want to make a really quick correction. Earlier we were talking about people who are let go from Amazon, and as far as like tech billionaires getting a lot of money, they let go of 14,000 people, and thank you to Tucker for getting us that information from CNN.
Yeah, I thought it was
also
much higher than that.
If you go to a grocery store nowadays, like, the first 85 lanes are for various groups of people. I'm not going to complain about who they are, but it's like, it used to just be, here is for people who are handy capable. That is for them. Great. Now it's like, online, pregnant women, veterans, nothing against any of these people, but it's like, you literally, I'm like, I am parking on the other side of the county because that's the first available spot for just a dude.
You're just not old enough yet. White
man complains about DEI parking lot. Film at 11. Okay.
Call Derek Van Orden. He'll get right on that.
I don't.
He will.
He'll get right on that.
He'll yell at me.
He probably will. Yes. I just want to say also, I listened to your show on the way in, and I love your history lesson when you do This Day in History. Speaking of being on the cover of ARP, Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid, is 64 today.
Yeah.
63 or 64. 64. That I almost drove off the road when I heard that.
I know. At least twice a week there comes a birthday, and you know somebody in one of the generations is hearing that and say, no, this can't be. And yet Father Time remains undefeated. What can you say?
Ralph Macchio. Look for him in senior parking. He'll probably be there.
Like I said, I'm not going to complain about it. I can't wait to get there because I don't want the alternative. So there you go.
There you go.
There you go. All right. We're going to lots of things to cover, Pat. And
all right,
we're going to start off with a little bit of the Sunday 60 Minutes interview.
Okay.
That Donald Trump did with Norah O'Donnell. Mm-hmm. And again, I highly encourage people to read the transcript of the interview rather than just watch it, because for one thing, CBS edited it. I know. Shocking. They edited the interview, which they got sued for. But there is an exchange between Norah O'Donnell and President Trump about prices. And so Norah O'Donnell said, when the stock market is doing well, that doesn't affect everybody. Not everybody's invested in the stock market. It does, says Trump. Oh, it does. It does. O'Donnell says, but grocery prices are up. Trump says, but 401ks are up. Norah says, but for people who don't have 401ks, they've seen their grocery prices go up. Trump says, no, you're wrong. The sky is green.
Yeah.
The sky is green, and just believe him when he says prices aren't up. Like, the man has been anywhere near a grocery store in the last 40 years is pretty hilarious. Well, but I read an article this morning, Pat, that talked about one thing during the Biden administration was they did not talk about how expensive things were. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a soft acknowledgement that, yes, things are not ideal, but they're going to be getting better. They'll be getting better. Now, I think the Republicans have kind of signed on to this and going, it's like, well, we're just going to push a completely alternate reality.
Yes.
With prices.
And it's why you hear me every Friday when I do a week in review panel with a couple of great journalists, Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. We use this saying all the time. It is not the job of a journalist to say, he says it's raining, she says it's clear. It's a journalist's job to go to the window, open the shades, and report what is actually happening out there. So don't just say Trump disagrees and says prices are lower. You're doing his work for him. Yep. If you don't say Trump either mistakenly or intentionally got wrong the fact that, you know, inflation is still here. It's 3%, the same as it was last year at this time when Joe Biden was president. Yep. So he's done nothing to bring it down. You can say all those things. That's not a bias. That's what is actually happening here. And so for either Norah O'Donnell or CBS writ large, if they did not tag out of that segment with a fact check on all these things, then they did a tremendous disservice.
Yeah, definitely. Sue from Franklin, listening on WAUK, says, I wouldn't call it an interview. It was nothing but fluff. Mm-hmm. I just don't understand why journalists don't push back on these people. Well, for one thing, but if she did that, she'd be out of a job.
I was going to say that was, we've gotten that comment a lot from people on the live stream and in the text messaging. And I understand the frustration, and it's very, from our position, from the network we work for the things we are allowed, for the freedoms we are given to say things on, it makes sense to say, why don't they push back more? Unfortunately, if you look at how litigious the Trump himself has been and how litigious the Trump administration has had weaponized a litigation from the White House, you see why these media outlets can't push too hard, because whether the media outlets need FCC okay for mergers, or, I mean, honestly, the people in charge or the people who own the company, stockholders, love Trump. There are consequences for saying and doing too much. And that's the unfortunate part. I mean, I watched Jake Tapper the other day talk out of one side of his mouth to a Republican and another side of his mouth to a Democrat. And he sounded like he stood for nothing between the two. The problem is these media outlets are run by shareholders, and a lot of them probably like Trump because they make him, he makes them money.
But the thing is, they always have been. And it makes me, for I'm usually nostalgic for like a Sam Donaldson or a Luke Russert, mm-hmm. but you have to go back much further than that. And if you've never watched Good Night and Good Luck, please do. It's all about Edward R. Murrow calling out McCarthyism at the time. And he had Fred Friendly, who was the president of the news division, yep. who was the buffer between him and Bill Paley, the owner. Now, Bill Paley, very rich guy, very well connected, and said to Fred Friendly, "You're killing me here with what Murrow's reporting, but as long as it's true, as long as it's fact-based, I will stand up to my mm-hmm. fellow rich guys."
Yeah.
We don't have that anymore. We don't have a Fred Friendly, and we don't have a Bill Paley. We have people only thinking about the money.
Yes.
And it comes down to the fact that, you know, the question we hear as Wisconsinites and people around the country ask, how much is enough? Because you can say to yourself, I'm worth this money. I don't need more. But it not only the money factor, it's also the power and the access, because that is way more important. And the ratings are way more important than actually reporting the truth, because we have so many outlets, so many ways of gathering news that you have to be more entertaining than you do presenting the facts. And if you're not entertaining, then people aren't watching.
But how is it not yet a sustainable business model for somebody to actually have the network, the outlet at the national level, mm-hmm. not your civic media, you know, Up North News, at the national level that holds these guys to account? Mm-hmm. And yeah, maybe you lose your White House access. That doesn't stop you from reporting on what the facts are. That's the model I've talked about all the time. If I were running one of these networks, I'd get rid of live interviews tomorrow and say, we're going to do nothing but playback clips from other outlets' interviews and fact check them, because you can't fact check Ron Johnson in real time. He'll just keep talking over you.
It's mm-hmm. impossible.
So you get the Ron Johnson interview from Newsmax or one of those other, you know, fake outlets, and you break it down for your viewer. There is such a niche there that I wish somebody would fill.
Well, and that's the thing too, is we saw the bevy of reporters who left the Pentagon in protest of that letter that Pete Hegseth put forward saying how you had to report on this organization. They said no. By doing that, you see, all right, reporters can say no.
Yeah.
Outlets can say no. Those are the first steps. And I'm waiting for someone in the White House press corps, in that room, to simply say to Caroline Leavitt's face, you are a liar. And you are lying to us and the American people, and literally throw their credentials down and walk out, because that's what's going to happen. That will be the punishment. But someone has to say something eventually. Who it will be, I don't know. It'll probably be Fox News for all I know. I don't know. But
I wouldn't count on that,
But somebody actually just calling it out in real time in their faces and not worrying about the consequences. I know that's easy for me to say because I have a job and my job isn't on the line. But there has to be someone eventually saying something. You have to start somewhere.
It would be worth it just to see someone call Carolyn Leavitt on it and, you know, say, Carolyn, that's a lie. And she would just say, I reject that.
Yeah.
Alternative facts.
Yeah. Well, and don't worry about the Pentagon, because now Laura Loomer is there. She's an official reporter now on the Pentagon. She got her OKs. Yeah. So
her bona fides.
Yes. Laura Loomer. We're going to continue talking with Pat Kreitlow from Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 10 o'clock news, Chuck Collins from Patriotic Millionaires. He's going to join us, a senior scholar for the Institute for Policy Studies. He's co-founder and trustee of Patriotic Millionaires. I know our colleague and friend Maggie Dawn has talked to him a number of times in the past few months. Looking forward to talking to him. He thinks millionaires should pay more.
How
shocking.
Whoa. What?
I know. Whoa. It's crazy.
I think too, if you go to the, I just want to make sure to, you go to civicmedia.us/shows, you can go back and listen to a program that she did with the Patriotic Millionaires from last year during the election called, what's it called? Maggie and the Millionaires Talk Money. And it's all about, it's these are older episodes from last year, but it's about six episodes talking to various people from this group about these topics. So go to civicmedia.us/shows, look for the Maggie Dawn Show, and you can find those archived episodes right there.
Pat Kreitlow, by the way, is here from Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. He joins us every other Tuesday to kick around all things newsworthy. I wanted to talk about this a little bit, Pat, in the time that we have left. Scott Adams is the creator of the Dilbert cartoon.
Oh, yes.
And he, and
what did I miss, by the way? I didn't, seriously.
Do you remember, Craig, when Dennis Miller, like after 9/11, took this serious right turn?
Oh.
That turned out to be Scott Adams as well, along with many others.
Gotcha.
So. But yeah. Scott Adams has prostate cancer. And over the weekend on Twitter, he posted on Monday, "I will ask President Trump via X to help save my life. He offered to help me if I needed it. I need it. I have metastasized prostate cancer. My healthcare provider approved my application to get a particular treatment, and there was a big holdup on that." The administration jumped on this almost instantaneously. Robert Kennedy Jr., "Scott, how do I reach you? The president wants to help." In Scott Adams' case, that's wonderful. I really hope you get the help that you need. What about the rest of us?
Yeah.
What about all the other people who have medical problems whose claims are being denied? Can we just all go on Twitter and ask Bob Kennedy Jr. to step in for us and get the approval?
Well, it's going to happen. People are going to put these very personal, very genuine pleas on social media. They're going to tag Robert Kennedy Jr. They're going to tag President Trump, and nothing's going to come of it. And I would argue, you know, one step further. They did not do this. They did not respond to this stuff to show their humanity, to show, well, if you just reach out, we will fix all this. They actually did this in part to underscore their authoritarianism, to say, you know who we get to help? We get to help our friends,
yep.
Mm-hmm. People who reach out to us. We will help them. We're not helping anybody. Why do you think Donald Trump loves talking about cutting Democrat programs and cuts funding to Democrat cities? That's what an authoritarian does, not somebody that wants to serve everybody. If you are in a position of elected office and you are in a position to help everybody, whether they voted for you or not, that is the highest calling. It doesn't mean you have to vote, you know, against your party on things, but it also means you don't show favor when it comes to constituent services, whether you're a legislator, you're on your town council, or president of the freaking United States.
Yeah.
I think too, the thing we're going to see when people, and I'm sure they've already done this too, is from almost the get-go, people were saying, and this happened during Trump's first administration as well, is I voted for you. Why aren't you helping me? I'm voted for you. Why are you taking away my benefits? Why are you taking away my access to healthcare? All these things, and people sitting there going, but I voted for you. I reached out to you on Twitter. Why didn't you answer me? I voted for you. And The question I have is, when will that lesson then sink in? Again, I'm not coming from the place of I told you so, or you F-A'd, now you're F-O-ing, all that stuff. I don't care about that. But I'm wondering when the lesson will then sink in that this guy who leads these people don't care about you. He cares about the people who can help him.
Because going back to, in my lifetime, the big 80s, when we were all about, you know, consumerism and everything, we've looked for that instant gratification. Everything has been transactional.
Yes.
And people now see voting or supporting somebody as transactional. I'm doing this for you, so you need to do this for me, rather than, you know,
it's the right thing to do.
Or serving somebody because it's the right thing to do. Yep. Yes, we become so materialistic about even our politics.
Well, speaking of transactional, I found this in Mediaite. Headline reads, majority of Trump ballroom donors recently faced federal enforcement actions.
No.
I know, it's such a shock. The majority of corporate donors to the big blob of a billionaire ballroom have recently faced federal enforcement actions. But that's all fine now because they donated to his vanity project.
again, elect a criminal as president, don't be surprised when the prisons are emptied of his favorite criminals who are in a position to give money. It dates back to his first term as well. It was the people who could donate who got pardons at the end of his first term. This is a very transactional president. He's made everything, his foreign relations with other leaders has been transactional rather than doing what is right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is simply who we have now, and you can only hope, as Greg was getting to earlier, that enough people finally see this and say, this is ugly. This is not who we are. We are better than this. One can only hope.
Listen to Pat Kreitlow. It's a fabulous show, 6 to 9 a.m. across Civic Media. Thank you so much, Pat. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Hang on to that
AARP. Yep. I'm going to want to borrow that.
There's some coupons in there.
We have news coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Mayer on Air on the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the globe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.